Thanks for tuning in to the Thirst for More podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. Thirst for More podcast was created to help strength and conditioning coaches, personal trainers, fitness enthusiasts, and anyone that loves lifting heavy shit all be connected under one roof. We take deep dives into coaching, programming and training, running gyms, nutrition, and overall improving your knowledge in the field of strength and conditioning. If you're new here, I'm glad you're able to tune in and hope you can just take away one awesome piece of information today to help you along with your journey. If you're a returning supporter, I appreciate you being along for the ride. Now let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Thirst for More podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley, and today's episode is going to be the Zercher squat benefits, pitfalls, and practical applications, in particular that you can use for strength and conditioning, personal training, and improving your health and fitness. Now, to get going for today's episode, I want to give you a quick personal story about the Zercher squat and why I've kind of grown to like this exercise. So many people probably have never even heard of this exercise unless you talk about, you know, squat, bench press, and deadlift variations, unless if you start getting into the strongman community or maybe even some of the powerlifting community. Some of the former West Side stuff even would use some of the Zercher-based exercises. And for me personally, I never truly used it to build any of my strength. I didn't really know a whole lot about it. Didn't really think about a whole lot of the applications to being able to use it to improve like my squat or my deadlift until I really started getting deeper into the strength and conditioning side of training and more specifically actually looking at this exercise more so from a compression expansion aspect with Bill Hartman and Mike Robertson in the IFAST-U community back in the day. And so this exercise is pretty old. I'll go into all these details here later, but for me personally, I found that this is just another fantastic way to anteriorly load the body and see improvements in our squat patterns for certain individuals. So while today I'm definitely going to talk a lot about strength in particular with this exercise, I think it's important that we actually recognize that it's great for just the average person to have issues with squatting in general because of the arm position. And I'll get into all this again, much more details here later. But for me personally, it's just really become an exercise and a variation of the squat that I like to use with some of my athletes and clients in particular, and even for some of my powerlifting-based community to be able to improve their upper back strength and have that carry over into their squat and their deadlift. So it really is almost a game changer if you're not using it and you have a particular weakness in your squat or your deadlift, or if you're looking for a way to improve squat mechanics and movement capabilities of certain athletes or certain sports, it really can level up your programming and get you some really great results. So I think if you've not done this exercise or you've been against it or you're kind of like, oh, well, I can do better off either front squatting or back squatting or safety bar squatting or just doing heavy block pulls or hex bar deadlifts, all great exercises, but we'll talk a little bit what might set the Zercher squat apart and how it might be able to be a useful piece in your training program. So we're going to kind of talk about five certain aspects and segments here, kind of breaking down what the exercise is, applications, programming, coaching cues, all that kind of stuff. So we'll have five key takeaways there. And then the expectation that you can get from this exercise is if you do want to use it, you're going to be able to plug and play and figure out how to best use it for certain populations. I'm actually going to think a little more critically about this exercise compared to just looking at, like I said, a front squat or a goblet squat, right? So it's going to be in your squat arsenal, but more so in your movement capability arsenal. And that's what I'm really going to challenge you with here today. So the first thing I really want to talk about here, just, you know, what is a Zercher squat? What is the position? What can you expect from the exercise? So the main thing from the Zercher position is the barbell. You can even use a sandbag. Today I'm going to talk about the barbell in particular, but a sandbag will work as well. It's holding the load in the crooks of your elbows. And then the elbows are going to be slightly forward. Palms are going to be towards your face. And then you're going to hold that position while you perform a squat pattern with your feet in your normal squat stance. Now, if you happen to be listening to me over on Spotify, Apple iTunes, where you listen to your podcast, you can also see this somewhat visually over on YouTube as well. So feel free to check that out if you're looking for more of a visual demonstration here. But we're going to be holding that weight anteriorly in front of us, barbell on the crooks of our elbows, palms are towards us. The way I like to coach is if you're like reading a book, that's how your hands would be. Now your hands can be in fists or what have you. Your elbows are actually down and reach forward slightly. Okay. So they're not actually up super high. They're actually down maybe in a 10 to 20 degree angle if we were actually measuring shoulder flexion. And then versus the front squat, where we're going to have the bar up top, obviously across the clavicle, upper chest area, either a cross pattern zombie or even a front rack position, right? Those, you can tell how that's different because the barbell is actually a little more loaded up top, but also it's closer to the midline where the Zercher gets further away. And the back squat, obviously the barbell's on your back, and that's going to have more of a push pattern and actually have you, lean forward a little bit, where the Zercher and the front squat are going to have you more vertical. So you can kind of see from a biomechanics perspective how that anterior load might change some things up. So historically, the exercise is named after Ed Zercher and more popularized in the 1930s strongman culture, way back in the day. I'm not super great at the strength history side of the exercise in particular, but I do know that's who it's named from. And it does, usually when you see the exercise, you actually see people bend down and pick the barbell off the ground and then kind of lap it and then go. And that's really kind of how, from a strongman perspective, how it's going, because it's similar to like loading stones or loading heavy objects. And that can be awesome for the strongman community as well. But it's kind of evolved into just the squat pattern itself. They're just putting it in the rack and unracking, walking back, and then performing the squat, or performing the squat off of just pins and basically doing an Anderson version or variation of the exercise. And I don't really know why it like kind of just like disappeared. I'm going to assume that primarily the bodybuilding community, when Arnold came in and, all those other popular bodybuilders from the 60s and 70s really started to make a prominence. Bodybuilding was all about show, right? The biceps and the triceps and the chest and the shoulders and the high volume training and the introduction of, anabolics into that particular aspect of the era of bodybuilding. And then, as powerlifting kind of evolved out of that as well, then you kind of just started see more focus on just the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. And the Zercher squat kind of just went away. Now, when you look at the strongman community again, then they started implementing, all these weird objects. And strongman has gotten a little bit more complicated in that realm. They do have overhead press variations and carrying events and deadlift events. But for the most part, it's not something like super popularized. I would say that the Zercher squat itself is probably one of the most unpopular main movements or variations of the squat. You'll see the front squat and the safety bar and all the specialty bars more than you'll see the Zercher squat. And sometimes I think that's just because the exercise sucks, but it can have some great applications we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And so from an anatomical positioning perspective, the bar being in the elbows, as I talked about, is an anterior load. That means the barbell is in front of us, just like a goblet position or a front rack position of a front squat, right? Those are anterior loaded. And if you've done anything with Bill Hartman's compression expansion model, or if you're any familiar with that, the further a load gets away from you anteriorly, the more you have to shift your center of mass backwards and stay on your heels. And when you do that, that creates upper back expansion. So your upper back has to be able to expand to be able to allow that to happen. Now, most exercises, or many exercises that we like to use, the deadlift, the squat, the bench press, rowing variations like bent over rows, those are pretty compressive exercises, especially from the back and the posterior side, and that gives you a push forward through space. And so that can be a good thing in terms of aiding performance, right? If you want to run faster and do things forward more, getting pushed forward, push your center of mass forward so you can run faster, better. That's why the Bulgarian split squat works so well, because of what that does when you hold the load and you put your foot, your body's leaning forward and you're mimicking not only the joint angles of running, but you're putting your center of mass over your foot. And then you're developing, you're losing your hamstrings more specifically towards that task. Where the Zercher position does the opposite. It's so anterior, we shift backwards, okay? And what that's going to do, you're going to immediately feel your midsection and your trunk tighten up. You're going to have to stiffen up a little bit. and your upper back strength is going to have to be able to maintain that position. Not only are you getting the expansion, which is awesome, but the upper back has got to be statically strong to hold that position. Now, you could say that's going to happen as well when it comes to like the front squat, right? But because the Zercher position is even more forward, it's going to be more prominent. And because the barbell is lower, it's actually kind of pulling us down, pulling, I'll say quote unquote, pulling us down. So we're going to have to keep our chest up a little bit more in that position as well. So similar to the front squat, the barbell position is just changing, just though it is further in front. It's really kind of the furthest in front you can get from a loading perspective, especially when we talk about like barbells from a barbell perspective. So let's talk a little bit about like what you're going to get from the recruitment side and the muscle side. Now, it's just going to be very similar to the normal squat patterns, right? But because it is anterior, you are going to feel your quads a bit more, but you're still going to get glutes and hamstrings, your upper back statically, your trunk musculature, like I just mentioned. But the big thing too is that your traps and your upper back having to hold that with your arms slightly out, because when you hold the barbell, you don't want to lean backwards, right? You don't want to have that weight sitting in the middle or lower part of your back. You want to be able to keep your ribs and your pelvis stacked while you do that exercise, and that slight reach forward allows you to do that more. Now, if you start to have a really heavy weight and you're leaning backwards more, now you're taking away some of those benefits that you could be getting. So it is somewhat context dependent. I will give you that. But generally speaking, that's what you're going to want to look for from the exercise perspective. Clearly, it's got an anti-extension demand as well, right? Because if you do this correctly, it's going to make sure that you're not extending to hold that position. You're going to should shift yourself back, and that's going to prevent you from being that extension-based pattern. It's also going to have real-world carryover to daily tasks when you carry super heavy things. I mean, almost at any point, probably during the day, you're going to have to carry something anteriorly loaded, whether it be like a case of water or a backpack or a kid or an object, right? It does happen quite a bit from a real-world application perspective. And then you can just feel the improvements from the midsection side that you're going to get from the engagement side. So it doesn't mean that you're not getting trunk engaged when you do a back squat or a safety bar squat or any posterior or back loaded exercise. You certainly are. The front squat, you're going to feel your abdominals quite a bit, but the Zercher, you will definitely feel it because, again, how far forward that barbell is from a loading perspective. The upper back development side, you're obviously then going to get the rhomboids, the rear delts, traps, all that's going to be fantastic. Your erectors are going to be really lit up and nice and strong. So that side of it can be great when we talk about the squat and the deadlift and using this as a supplemental exercise 100%. Those are all muscles that are incredibly important to maintain position in our squat and our deadlift. And that's why as a supplemental exercise, this usually is really slept on in the powerlifting community. Again, not so much a strongman. They're definitely more of the favoritism of using this exercise, but anybody can really benefit from it here. And by working on that and having that anterior load and training that position, then we get long-term postural benefits. If you are in an anterior orientation or you are pushed forward, it can help improve some of our movement capabilities and our posture, especially on the upper body side of things. So from a quote-unquote functional piece, obviously the carrying the heavy objects, being in that position and being more upright is going to mimic more of like squatting straight down to get something or squatting straight down to a chair. If we're talking about elderly populations, I talked about like using the sandbag or having real functional world applications, it does carry over itself over to more of the average quote unquote person for sure. And there's going to be athletic performance applications as well. So I really like this with combat sport athletes in particular. I work with quite a few wrestlers. I use the Zercher position a lot to be able to not only develop their upper back strength, but with how much they actually pick up legs and pick up arms and pick up other people, it does have some pretty good carryover there in terms of mimicking those positions. Now, I don't really like saying sport specific, but if you can get them used to training with anterior loads that they're going to see more likely in sport, you are going to prepare the body for those demands. And even something like football, for example, when you go to tackle somebody or you know you're trying to like pick somebody up and put them down, right? That's all going to transfer over into that. So there are athletic benefits as well if you're looking at it from a sports performance perspective. Now, from the like forearm perspective and being able to hold that from the bicep, I'm not going to say it's going to do anything. You're probably going to get some isometric work for sure, but that's not really why you're doing the exercise. The big thing here is understanding that having that anterior load and building the upper back, the midsection, and then obviously the lower body as you go to do a squat variation as well. And then that carrying over to your deadlift, that static position, being able to hold that works great when we talk about sumo conventional deadlifting. So if those erectors, rhomboids, and traps are stronger, and especially from an isometric perspective, we know with those big exercises, you have to statically hold positions. And if you find that your back is caving or rounding, or you're having a hard time maintaining static positions, this can be a fantastic way to go about that. So what are some common pitfalls and how can you avoid them when it comes to the Zercher squat or even just the Zercher position in general? So, the first one would be if you are leaning forward too much, right? If the barbell is in front of you and you're leaning forward, right, you're either the weight is too heavy for you, or you've got it too far out in front of you. It's physically pulling you forward. You can't maintain that position. It's probably too heavy for you. I don't see that a whole lot, but you will see that butt shoot up a little bit sporadically. And then the elbow positioning, I kind of talked about that earlier in the episode, but when you raise your elbows up super high, right, that's not really a Zercher position. Where the Zercher position, your elbows are actually by your side, kind of like hugging yourself. Your elbows are actually more around belly button level, if anything. And then another issue that you're going to have as well are depth issues on the squat. So with where your elbows are, they could run into your forearms quite a bit. This does happen for many people. So you may not be exactly at 90 degrees. You're probably going to be pretty close for most people. And we got to remember, we're not really necessarily after this for immediately driving and hitting 90 degrees in the squat. We're actually using it as a way to load that pattern, sure. And if you reach forward more, you are going to be able to hit that depth because you're going to offset that because of the center mass change that we talked about earlier. It's going to allow you to sit back and down into that hip position better and your elbows are up more. That's going to happen. But if you keep them locked in pretty far by your side because you're doing maximal based effort work with it, then you're going to talk about, okay, you're probably not going to get down to a quote unquote powerlifting 90 degrees, but you are going to be pretty close. But you're also going to get all the added benefits from the posterior development of the exercise. So you're shortchanging yourself a little bit on the depth, but again, you're not after it for the depth aspect. You're after it from the full body training perspective, and in particular, the positioning on the upper back side as much as you are the lower body side. So who should avoid doing Zerchers? You know, exercise can't always be for everybody. That's just the way training works, right? There's certain things that work well for certain people. And so my first one is obviously if you've got like elbow or shoulder issues, you don't want to put a heavy load there. I do think a sandbag is a fantastic way to work around this because it can kind of conform itself to your arms. And I love using this with personal training clients and youth athletes as a loading strategy because it's more comfortable and it's easier to just put the sandbag on them and go, right? So, but that's clearly somebody, if they do have some kind of drastic elbow or shoulder issues, because you might have to reach forward a little bit, that anterior load might pull in that bicep tendon a little bit and cause a little bit of anterior shoulder discomfort. Again, not common, but very, very possible. Obviously if you work with somebody that's pregnant, putting that load there, you're going to run into some issues, especially if they happen to be pretty far along in their pregnancy. It's going to be harder to hold that position. Again, there's nothing wrong with the exercise itself, more so just that there is another human being growing in another human being, and that's just physically in the way. And then, like I talked about, from a beginner modification perspective, using a sandbag is for sure the way to go to build into a barbell. Because for many people, that initial discomfort of the exercise kind of steers them away. Because with a regular barbell, it can definitely leave your elbows and your forearms feeling it the next day. No question there. So from a progressive overload perspective, so we're talking about the loading strategy side of things. Many people, again, when you introduce new exercises, begin to load the exercise up too fast, too quickly. So just build into the exercise moderately as you should any other exercise. You don't need to max out day one. Build into the exercise. It'll get your forearms and your arms used to the exercise a little bit more. It will get your upper back and your midsection used to it a little bit more, right? Because it's a new novel training stimulus, you don't have to full send it. You should build into the exercise. It's really just for any exercise in general, but the Zercher, because of the nature of holding the object, sometimes you might want to make sure that you're doing that a little bit more. You also want to make sure that from a mobility perspective in your lower body that you can also do this, right? If somebody is really struggling to squat, I'm thinking more so like older populations, this may be an exercise that's just not quite ready for them yet, right? We need to go with some box squats, maybe a goblet position is a little bit better, a way to go about this. But clearly if they have issues getting down there and running into their elbows and things like that, then it's an exercise that you want to avoid. Not something I see a lot, but mobility restrictions are something always to consider, especially when we start talking about elderly populations or personal training based clients. There might be some things you got to work around here that you may not usually see as much in athletes. And then another issue from a loading perspective is just chasing the ego, right? Just constantly throwing more weight on the bar, and then, you know, you're leaning backwards, and it's just like, it's not a good, clean looking exercise. It begins to be more of like, literally, what can I just do to get the weight up? And that's really not the intended use of the exercise and how to see the most benefits from it. So, you know, you want to just maintain your position as much as you can. A little bit of body English at times can be okay. But again, if you're constantly just using your lower back to do the exercise, or you're constantly arching to be able to hold the weight because you can't keep your midsection strong enough and your upper back strong enough to maintain that position, you're kind of missing out on what we're after for the exercise. Now, things that you can do to level up the exercise that maybe help you out, you can have some kind of pad. I think they even actually make a Zercher pad that you can use, or you can use a hip thrust pad on it that will make it more comfortable and increase the elbows. You could also use like an Arix pad. Personally, what we do at my gym, we got a nice big fat easy bar, or as Elite FCS calls it, zigzag bar. So it's basically a hollow axle bar shaped in the same shape of a zigzag or an easy bar. And because it's a fatter bar and it's got that natural curve into it, man, it fits right in the crooks of your elbows so comfortably. Like it should just literally be called a Zercher squat bar or a Zercher bar, because I think that is a better use and probably the number one use that we get out of our facility with exercise, outside of using it for landmines for very young athletes that just don't have the strength to lift up the 45 pound barbell, like with presses and things. To me, the best exercise to go about with that. You know, with the Zercher position as well, you don't really have to worry so much about safety in terms of dropping the weight, right? You're not going to be able to set up pins because the barbell is going to be so much lower, and using safeties isn't really going to do anything, or you're just going to hit the safeties and you're not going to be able to perform as much range of motion with the exercise. So the nice thing is, if you happen to fail the exercise, or you struggle on the way down, or there's something going on, you can just literally just dump the barbell. And I think that's a benefit of the exercise that's very often missed, is just the overall safety aspect of it. There's really not a way to truly injure yourself from like getting stapled underneath a bar. And some home gym modifications. I kind of talked about sandbags. You know, you can certainly use like different barbells and things as well, and finding, you know, like towels or something to put around the barbell to make it more comfortable if you need to as well. So those are usually the issues and the pushbacks that I see with the exercise and hear about the exercise. Again, I talked about the giant easy bar that we use. That has rectified basically everything in my facility when it comes to pushback or people not liking, quote unquote, not liking the exercise. It's not that they like it, dislike it because it hurts or anything. It's just, it is a challenging position. So let's now move on to like the practical programming side of things. Okay, we've kind of talked all the simple logistics side of it. What do I recommend, or how do I go about programming it? So for beginners, I really like just 2 to 3 sets of 8 to 12 repetitions, right? Just get practice doing the exercise. Again, with the beginners, I usually drift more towards a sandbag, but I do have that giant easy bar, as I mentioned. I keep the sets and reps pretty normal ranges, right? We're getting practice with the exercise. We're building the position, and we're getting the adaptations that we want from the exercise. Once we start getting into the intermediate, so for me, that's going to be like 8th grade and up for sure when I get into high school athletes or more advanced strength sport athletes, then we start talking 3 to 4 sets of 5 to 8 reps. We start pushing the strength component a little bit more, and we can do more sets because of that, because our reps are down, right? So you can begin to push that load and push the strength aspect and challenge that positioning much more, especially if you've built it from a beginner perspective. And then from an advanced side, now we can really kind of bust out our bag of tricks, right? We can do heavy doubles and triples, and we can do these for multiple sets, or we can do these off of pins, or we can do them with bands or chains, right? So there's lots of different ways that you can then progress it from an advanced perspective. My most ideal way to do this exercise is doing it off of pins from an advanced progression. I do think it happens to work better for athletes that like wrestling, for example. I use it a lot with them, especially going into season. It can limit a lot of the soreness, and we can still get a lot of the upper back strength perspective, because we can kind of eliminate some of that eccentric stress. So some way that you could progress this, if you're talking about from a progression aspect and build into the exercise, we could just do holds and carries first, right? Rather than actually squat the exercise or squat the movement, we can just introduce somebody to doing Zercher carries with like a sandbag or a light barbell. And we can, one, get a carrying pattern, awesome, and develop that upper back and midsection aspect, and then also introduce them to the position and what it feels like to hold it. And for many people, that's a great way to build into it as well. Then we could actually go to a box squat. So after we comfortable with that, now we can squat it to a box and we have an object to go for. We can still actually work on the squatting pattern, and we can make sure that we can progress the load comfortably and constantly hit the same depth with it. And we can figure out if the depth is going to be an issue and how the elbows are going to run into each person, because again, that is slightly different, as I mentioned. But it's just a, I think for me personally, when I go to teaching squats, the box squat is just a great way to go about it from a foundational side. I don't have people stay with the box squat forever. It's just a bulletproof way of how I have built and learned to teach people how to squat really well. And it's worked very well for my facility. And then you can then take the box away, and then now you can just do your regular Zercher squat, or you can even add like a ramp. We like to use our prime squat wedges for these and use that to even also further push center of mass backward, keep them more upright, or also get some more quad work out of it as well. Increase range of motion. You got lots of ways there. Then you can progress your loading strategies, as we kind of talked about earlier, from like, you know, the little bit more volume to more strength based, and then the pins and bands and chains. That's one way to go about it. And then you can also adjust your frequency. You can put it in there twice a week to get more exposure, or you could have one day where you're doing some pretty heavy barbell work, and then your second day it could just be Zercher carries as well. So, you know, you can clearly progress this just like pretty much any other exercise. But the nice thing about the Zercher position is that you can use it outside of just the squat. You can use it for carries, you can use it for single leg work. A Bulgarian split squat with a Zercher position is absolutely ass. It is terrible. It sucks. Everybody I've ever given those to hates that exercise. If you hate Bulgarian split squats, hate them even more if you put in the Zercher position. In terms of the programming implementation side, for me personally, for most of the people I work with, it's one day a week. You know, it's just in there as a squat pattern or a split squat pattern, right? So for most people, it's going to work. If you're talking about pairing it from a strength and conditioning perspective with athletes, again, one day a week for me is kind of the sweet spot. Now, if we're talking about strength sport athletes, we have some different approaches here, right? So we can use this as a supplemental lift on our squat day, or we can use a supplemental lift on our deadlift day, or our max effort day, or our dynamic effort day, right? You can use it really any way of those programming means that you wish. Personally, I'm not going to do any dynamic work myself. That's not really what I want on the exercise, but using it to build the deadlift or the squat, 100%. And that's going to complement those exercises, and especially if you're talking about posterior development needs to be enhanced to see your deadlift and your squat go up. So if your arms are strong enough to hold onto the barbell, your hands are, and your hips are strong enough, right, but your mid to low back is just super weak, it's a great way to go about doing that. And then from a periodization side, like, you clearly don't want to keep it in all the time, right? You need to have basic structure in all your training. So this should really be used when you notice that there's weak areas you need to address, and or if you're talking about like from a sport performance perspective, then I like to use this a lot going into towards the season. And then once the season gets there, I might dabble it in here and there. But I'll usually go to other variations like a safety bar or whatever, just to give the athlete as much break as possible from elbows and wrists and shoulders and all that kind of stuff, right? So how you implement it can really just depend upon seasonality. Now, if you're talking about personal training clients, you can really run with the exercise for as long as you want, especially if they like it or you're seeing a big return on investment. Now, the other thing from a programming integration perspective that I like, as I talked about, is shifting center mass back and improving range of motion. So if we take somebody that's very anterior oriented like myself, so bad anterior pelvic tilt, right, and we get that center mass push backwards, this is a great way to help athletes learn how to stay vertical and open up their backside and improve ranges of motion outside of the goblet squat. So if they've even got really bad shoulder mobility and they can't get up in that front squat, they can't keep those elbows up for whatever reason, their shoulders are also really bad, this is a great way to pair that into it. And then adding in like a heels elevated piece or a ramp to it is another way to double down on that movement side of it. from a sport specific, quote unquote, specific population piece. I kind of talked about the athletes that I like to use it with in terms of mainly combat sports, wrestling, and football. Those are kind of really my big go-tos. You can really justify it for any athletes, again, that need to work on pushing center of mass backwards. But for me personally, I go with combat sports. I'd much rather go with a front squat or a safety bar squat if I'm talking about getting other squatting patterns from that. And more so the anterior side, definitely the front squat. Now, for general fitness enthusiasts or people that just love to train, I think you could really use this as much or as little as you wanted. I think if you're tired of back squatting and front squatting, it's a great way to mix things up. It's a great way to challenge you. If you are in the tactical game, right, you are police, fire, military, again, going to have more real-world applications to your job and daily life. If you happen to just be a regular Joe that just likes to train, again, another just great way to challenge yourself. And or if you are wanting to improve like your front squat or your back squat, this would be an exercise that you can throw in there to help aid that so you can get those numbers moving in the right direction. From the elderly population, talking about the functional side, again, they carry a lot of stuff and they pick stuff up. We're thinking about what they're doing in daily life. Again, I bias myself towards the sandbag option here. But if you can get an older person to buy in to the barbell, that's great as well. But for me, the sandbag just kind of fits that bill. And we use it a lot in terms of not just squats, but carries, lunges, split squats, lateral lunges, right? We use the Zercher position quite a bit in our facility with our older population because we know it's a great way to improve their movement capabilities and anteriorly load that squat pattern and also get a good amount of buy-in, and it's pretty comfortable, right? It's the sandbag just doesn't look as intimidating as, say, a 40-pound dumbbell to some elderly populations. It is just what it is. You can certainly use it from a rehabilitation perspective, too, going back to that anterior load and you're trying to improve some pelvic mechanics. That would be more of a PT side of a thing, or getting somebody coming off of an issue, then we can clearly use that anterior position to aid that. But again, like I talked about, not really something I see a whole lot of in my context of work, but I'm sure there are physical therapists and what have you that can clearly find a use for the Zercher position for some of their drills if they do need to. So from the variation side and more advanced techniques that I talked about, we can do Zercher box squats, we can add pauses, we can do lunges and split squat variations, as I mentioned, so you can level these up. The single leg pattern, I'm telling you, it's a sleeper. It is a great way to hit two for one, destroy your lower body and your upper body at one go. It is a true gut check, but I do like it. And then you can obviously do loaded carries, as I've mentioned. And I also do like them with lateral lunges as well, again, more so with a sandbag. From advanced protocols and programming side, you can use clusters, as I talked about, kind of doing them off the pins. You can do clusters. So you can do 1-2, rest 20 seconds, 1-2, rest 20 seconds, 1-2, right? You can use a heavy load, and that's going to be very possible what you could kind of see in sport, like wrestling, picking up a single leg. You obviously can implement tempos, just like with any other kind of squat variation, 3-second eccentric, 1 to 2 3-second pause, and then explode up. Those are kind of the big ways that I would use it. You could technically use it with like a superset of some kind to where you're going to do a squat pattern and then like a pulling pattern or a pushing pattern. Me personally, it's a big bang buffer exercise. If I pair anything with stuff like this, I usually pair mobility drills myself. But again, that's personal preference for you. So I've kind of covered all the very basics, and I kind of thought, let's just Google some very common questions with this exercise. What are people looking to know about the Zercher squat? Because again, it's not as popular. So people are probably, what is a Zercher squat? Or, you know, how can I see benefits of this exercise? Right. So I kind of just Googled popular Zercher squat questions. And question number one, I shouldn't be surprised by this, is how do I deal with elbow discomfort? Well, we kind of talked about using a Erics pad or towels to be able to get around that. If I talked about using an easy bar or a fat bar because of a larger diameter, that's going to disperse it out a little bit more. Those are going to really be the best ways you can get about this, really is. Or use a sandbag if you've got sandbags. Those are going to kind of be your three. Towel, Erics pad, I guess four, a fat bar, or a sandbag. Second question was, can I do these every workout? Kind of a very basic one, but you certainly could. I would not. I would not recommend doing these every workout. I would recommend just doing your Zercher squats one day a week. Either replace your squat pattern if you just happen to be a general fitness enthusiast, or use it to build your squat and your deadlift if you're talking about powerlifting, or if we're talking from a sports performance perspective or personal training perspective, right? You're going to use it athletically or personal training wise as one of your go-to exercises. That's what I would do. Maybe twice a week if you're really after it, but that's what I would do. And then the third most popular question is, what weight should I start with? Well, if you've not done them before, always start out with the bar. That's just kind of like a training knowledge thing. Anything you do with the bar, you always start with the bar, grease the pattern, get a feel for it. But especially early on as a beginner, you're going to want to just start with the barbell and then slowly add weight until you find a weight that's challenging your position, but you can maintain that position and you also feel like you can do 2 to 3 more reps. Starting off there for the first month or so, you're still going to be able to progressively build on it. But again, going back to the elbow position and the barbell sitting there, that's going to allow you to kind of adapt to the way that feels, because it is going to feel different for a while. So that's what I would do in terms of determining a weight. And then that weight isn't going to be selective on your strength level and how you're able to maintain that position. I would not just say, hey, use X amount of percent of your back squat, your front squat, right? I don't have a special formula for that, unfortunately. So you're having to just build in, find an ideal weight that you can do a couple more reps with, to leave some reps in the tank, and also just get used to the position and how that feels on your elbows. Now, I don't have any, I've given you my equipment hack side of it, and I had that. I Googled also hacks. What are other people doing? Some do-it-yourself padding. The big one was using the glute bridge or the glute bridge barbell pads that they make, or you can also use the, some people call them the bar tampons, right? The squat pads that you would put, that you can put on your back. You might see this in a standard commercial gym, not at my gym or, in my opinion, any like real training facility, but here's a good use for it. It could actually just make it a little more comfortable on your elbows when you do the exercise. So worth considering. Going with that fat bar to me is also a huge way to navigate this, is use an axle bar or a zigzag bar from Elite FTS. Not getting anything from them for this, but again, I'm just very pro that barbell. And that will really be the best way you can get around it, or just take a lot of towels or a AirX pad. Those are probably going to be your best equipment hacks for that. Now, the final thing I want to talk about here as well is that I kind of did some Googling as well. What do people not like about the Zercher outside of the elbow position? So one of the big complaints is you can't get as much load like with a regular back squat or front squat. And I agree. That's 100% true. Cannot deny that. I would argue that this is not an exercise that you're chasing the load from the lower body perspective. I agree that if you want to develop your legs, you should back squat. It's going to let you handle the most amount of load. But we're talking about improving the positioning side of things. Now things begin to change, right? If we're talking about in changing the mechanics of what's happening upstairs, what's happening at the hips and the lower body, that's where the Zercher position for me, as I talked about going back to the IFAST-U stuff and the compression expansion model, to me has been a valuable game changer in how I choose to program stuff. So if I know that I need to shift athlete's center of mass back more, I really don't want to use a front squat, or they're not ready for a front squat like a youth athlete, right? They're really just not having good movement patterns. That sandbag cleans up a lot of those. For me, that's a win, right? It's not necessarily always about loading to win. It's just being able to improve their movement capabilities early on, and the load will come. And then finally, another one is that it doesn't have any real application to sport, right? You might as well just back squat or front squat and you get all the same benefits. And again, going back to that compression expansion model, I would disagree with that. Right. So again, I use all these squat variations I'm mentioning that I'm throwing at you. I use them all the time. I find ways to use the Zercher position and find its benefits, right? I intentionally find uses for it for certain individuals. I'm not married to the exercise and give it to everybody. However, I also again think if you're a power lifter and you're trying to focus on your back position for your deadlift, your squat, you'd be a fool to not implement this into your training program to some degree if you need it. There's other variations like good mornings and safety bar good mornings and seated good mornings and snatch grip deadlifts and extra rowing and lat pull downs. Those are all fantastic. Back extensions, you know, even Jefferson curls could be beneficial, right? There's plenty of ways to develop the backside to help those lifts. But I do think that the Zercher squat is a great way to load and challenge that position to statically stay strong. And that will have better carryover to those exercises. So something worth considering there. So five big takeaways here on this exercise for you before we round out this episode. I think you're going to get unmatched trunk stability from this exercise, like from a full body engagement from neck to your pelvis. I think the midsections piece that you're going to get out of the exercise, if you really load it up and really chase the exercise hard, I think it's going to be hard to match. There's going to be a lot of really good benefits there. Two, you're going to have superior, quote unquote, functional carryover for every single person that you can think of. Certain athletes, personal training clients, elderly populations, improving mobility demands, picking up and carrying stuff, strongman, right? There's a lot of great carryover that can be useful out of this position and exercise. You're obviously going to get the extra upper back strengthening out of the piece out of the exercise, going back to that powerlifting side, right? That's going to be, again, a thing that's very hard to get statically. Okay. You can do other things. I've mentioned that, but the static position to me is where the real game changing win is with this exercise or this position. Progressively building into exercise is pretty crucial because of the positioning, especially if you've never done it before. Just like with any other exercise, you want to kind of build into it intelligently. You're not just going to full send it. As long as you build into the exercise, then you can use it more routinely and it becomes a little more natural, just like with any other exercise. And it's a great complement to just any squat and deadlift based programming because of all the carryover to those exercises. Again, not saying you have to do it, but I do think, again, it is super undervalued and super underrated for that particular population. Again, I love it for my wrestlers as well. So what can you do if you're wanting to use the Zercher squat? So my first suggestion would be, if you're completely new to it, start doing Zercher carries. Okay. Implement that in as part of your trunk work in your training, regardless of what your training goals are. I think there's too many benefits from doing loaded carries just in general. Loaded carries are great. I love them in all types and variations. But if you've not done a Zercher carry, now's your time to start putting Zercher carries in as your midsection work. Again, if you're unsure of how things look and you don't train around anybody, you can film yourself doing the exercise as well and kind of see how you look compared to what it should look like. More than likely, most people are going to get the hang of it pretty quickly, though. I'd recommend implementing it just one day a week to start off. So if you're past the holds and you're going to go into the squats, just implement that position into one exercise one time a week and see how it feels and how it's aiding your training, right? And then stack that up for 3 to 6 weeks and then pivot, you know, find a more advanced progression or exercise, or then start to actually really push the weights and test yourself and see kind of what you can do for hard strength sets if you're ready for it. And then clearly track your progress. As you make progress with the exercise, you should be able to tie that to other progress as well if you're using it to build other lifts or improve your performance, right? If you're getting better at that, for my wrestlers, for example, when they're getting stronger at those, they're feeling better on the mat when they're going to actually wrestle other people. So that's the best ways that you can get out of it. So if you happen to enjoy today's video, I really appreciate it. Again, if you're listening over on Spotify or Apple iTunes, you can catch us on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, you can always check us over on Apple or Spotify if you choose to listen to it while you drive. This is completely on YouTube as well, though, so I appreciate it if you are watching. If you are watching this on YouTube and you like the video, hit that like button. I really appreciate it. And also, if you're not subscribed to the channel, hit that subscribe button. Completely free, doesn't cost you anything, helps me out, and you can get to keep up with all my content, where I've got over 2,600 videos on my YouTube channel. That's a lot of content. Everything from exercise index fit videos to learn how to do exercises, things that I'm actually programming and using with my clients on a weekly basis. You also get all my normal weekly content of just general education for strength and conditioning, fitness, and performance. And then I also even have daily quizzes. Believe it or not, something I think most people don't know. I have daily quizzes on my YouTube channel. Multiple choice, give you the right answers. I even start giving the explanations. People start wanting explanations. I'll be honest, when it came to the explanation side, I just started taking my questions and putting the explanation piece into AI to give me those answers, because I was not going to write out every single one of them. It is a lot of work just to do the questions by themselves. So to add the explanation portion of it, I've resorted to using AI to give you the answers. So I obviously read the answers. So some of them I tweak around a little bit because I want to make it more easily readable. But if you want to test your strength and conditioning or your fitness performance knowledge, or you just want to learn something, every single day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, that question goes live. And as always, if you have questions regarding your Zercher squat or anything fitness training related, leave in the comment section below. I answer every single comment as well, and I will as long as I can continue to keep up with them. But you can also give me show ideas or episode ideas as well. Again, I'm back doing the episodes here again relatively frequently. So I really appreciate any kind of information that you give me because I want to give you what you want to listen to, educate you on that kind of stuff. And the Zercher squat episode that you listened to today came from actually a post that I saw on Instagram. Somebody shared on their story how they thought the Zercher squat was useless. So I, of course, being me, decided, well, I like that exercise. I use that exercise. Let's make an episode about that exercise and why I like it, how you can benefit from it. And again, if you don't like it, to each their own. That's entirely okay with me. So again, thanks again for tuning in today's episode. I'll see you at the next episode here shortly. Thanks for listening to Thirst for More Podcast. Make sure you give us a follow on Spotify, iTunes, or anywhere else you like to consume your podcast. You can also check us out on YouTube at The Smitley, where you'll find clips and lots of educational-based material for strength and conditioning and exercise science. You can also make sure you give me a follow on Instagram at bsmitley or at Team Thirst, which is my gym Instagram page. For any more future updates on episodes to come, you can make sure you follow me there. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you at the next episode.